The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, Albie with Thinking Outside the Long Box, here with Z, the founder of Serenity Forge. We're here today to talk to him about some of his exciting games that are out now. Could you tell me a little bit about Serenity Forge and what it's like to be the founder of a video game company?
Yeah, absolutely. So Serenity Forge is a Boulder-based video game company that focuses on development and publishing. We mostly focus on projects that are on the PC and also console, so Xbox and PS4 and Nintendo Switch, the Switch being probably our most invested in platform right now. So, you know, being the founder, it really just means that you are stuck doing a lot of the stuff that no one else wants to do in a small team like ours. We're only 14 people. Okay. So a lot of the stuff that we're doing is, it's like, you know, we have our programmers and artists, and then there's all this sound stuff that no one really wants to deal with, and then I have to kind of step in and do that. So I guess in a way, and then of course you're just always, you know, doing a lot of management, financial stuff, and design work and all that.
What made you want to make video games?
Yeah, so it's actually when I was younger, I had a period of my life when I had to go through kind of a very difficult and traumatic experience. And through that experience, I actually found a lot of solace and recovery through video games. So afterwards, I thought back and like looked at games like World of Warcraft and League of Legends that I played a ton of, and realized that those games weren't really designed to help me, but they ended up saving my life. So what if I start making video games with intention to help other people? What kind of power can we unlock there? And that's kind of why I started Serenity Forge.
That's really the interesting thing that I found out about this company, is that the goal of it. Is that where the name came from?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Serenity Forge came from mostly in our early days. We were getting around talking about game design and just getting really heated about games. I mean, as you can imagine, you know, gamers, especially game developers, are really, really passionate for design, so we would fight with each other all the time. It's like, no, the text box should be red, no, it should be blue. And then in the end, we realized that, you know, despite all the fighting, we really cared about our game and we really cared about our work. Why don't we, you know, go forward forging Serenity and finding that peace within ourselves? And that's kind of why we're named Serenity.
I really love it. My daughter's named Serenity, so that stuck
awesome.
Out. Yeah. I love the visual look of your games. They're very beautiful. Is that intentional? Like, did you want to make it like almost like art, just to look at it while you're playing it?
Well, yeah. So I mean, one of the things I think the world doesn't quite recognize right now is that video games are absolutely art, especially in the visual sense. You know, you look at a painting, and it can be a very beautiful painting. But for a video game, you know, that's 60 paintings per second that you're looking at on your screen. And, you know, our artists are, you know, the people standing next to us right now, you know, they're very talented individuals who are able to make this magic on the screen. So something that we care about a lot in video games is to create these timeless experiences, something that you can look at, you know, 100 years ago or 100 years from now, and it still feels a certain way and still kind of bring about this type of emotion inside you. And to us, that's the narrative, and that's the beauty of games.
I like that. Can you tell me a little bit about Once Upon a Coma?
Yeah, Once Upon a Coma is a game, it's a narrative adventure, a psychological narrative adventure.
What does that mean?
It means, I guess, you know, you can typically watch a movie and it'd be pretty narrative, but then there are some movies that really kind of get in your head, like Silence of the Lambs, for example. So Once Upon a Coma kind of takes a little bit of that, but mostly aims it towards a younger audience. It's the story about Pete, a boy who wakes up from a coma to find out that all the parents in the city went missing. So he needs to go figure out what's going on and go save his best friend, Wynn, from the wilds. However, you know, as you keep playing, you realize that maybe this world that you're living in isn't quite what it seems. So, you know, you kind of dig a little bit deeper and find out more about what's going on in the story.
Does the narrative have different endings depending on gameplay?
No, not currently.
Okay.
Because one of the main things that we want players to realize is really like this very emotional journey from beginning to end. I mean, The beauty of games is that while you're playing, you're constantly making choices and you're seeing kind of the results of those choices, you know, from a mechanic and a narrative level. However, you know, the ending of a game, a lot of times, you know, we do have a very specific story that we want to show, and it's hard to keep it too dynamic.
What's involved in writing a story like that for a game? Because you have to have so many different paths, right?
Yeah, I think I like to use this quote because I think it's the best way to describe how we write things. And that is when Leo Tolstoy was writing Anna Karenina. There was, because Anna Karenina was a newspaper thing that kind of came out every week, you know, back in the days.
When they had newspapers.
Right, exactly. it was episodic. So when the episode came out that Anna dies in the story, spoilers for those who haven't read this thing spoilers. From like hundreds of years ago.
I think after a century, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. So when Anna Karenina actually died in the story, his fans got super pissed at him. Just saying like, oh, how could you kill the main character? The book was named after her. How could you kill her? And his response to that was, I didn't want her to die either. I really, really liked her as a character, but she chose to die. That wasn't my choice. And I think that's extremely powerful in describing how writing works. It's because, you know, the character is so fleshed out. It's so built to the point where the character is out of your control now as an author. And that's kind of how we write things. We kind of give a lot of descriptions, put it in there, and then see kind of how it moves throughout the story.
The characters are almost telling the story to you as
exactly.
you're writing it.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that. Yeah. That's good writing. Another thing I'm very interested in that you're doing is this Half Past Fate. It's mm-hmm. a romantic comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Video game. I love romantic comedies. Like, I've seen everyone. I love them. I've never really played a romantic comedy video game. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, so one of the things that we found out once we started doing research for this game is that there really aren't any romantic comedy games.
Not that I know
of.
If
you Google like romantic comedy video game, you get like Dragon Age, which is okay. not a romantic comedy game at all.
Heard, yeah.
yeah. We really wanted to tell the same story that like 50 First Dates or Groundhog's Day or Love Actually, or, you know, like these types of stories and put it into a video game. Honestly, that's the thought going into it. So the game features six main characters spanning a period of eight and a half years, just over how these characters kind of interacted with each other, how the world is fully connected. Love Actually is probably the closest comparison to how the story works.
Okay.
Just how everyone in the world is connected. We also feature a very diverse cast of characters from all walks of life. And this is something that we really, really care about. And then ultimately, it's a very disjointed story as well, so you're constantly jumping through time to
like
see
Love
what's
Actually,
going on.
Right?
Exactly,
okay.
yeah. And then in the end, you realize that
how
it all ties together. And that's kind of the story
all
we're
right.
telling.
Is there like two main characters that fall in love? Is there a hurdle like most romantic comedies?
Yeah, so there's actually three couples, so six characters with three pairs that you kind of see how they all come to be. The first couple meet and essentially go on their first date within the first day, just one day of them seeing each other, coincidentally. And then the second couple spans a period of 8.5 weeks, so about 2 months. And the third couple spans the whole 8.5 years, and they've been childhood friends, and then eventually they actually
What's the gameplay like?
It's very similar to a game called To the Moon, where you walk around, you know, it's very similar to an adventure game. You're similar to like your Monkey Island, you know, your old school adventure games. But there's also kind of a very unique visual. We wrote our own engine where it's 3D. The game is fully 3D, but it uses pixel art. So the visuals are almost similar to Octopath Traveler, if you ever heard of that game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you get to pick the character you play, like the male or female? Or
So you actually play through all six characters.
Okay.
So you, for every chapter that you go into, you jump to a different character. It's almost like Game of Thrones or the books, you know, how you keep on jumping
right.
from different perspectives.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. Music for it. What's the music like in the video game? Did you write it for a romantic comedy type?
Yeah, yeah. It's very, you know, poppy. It's very giddy. Depending on the story that you're experiencing, each pair kind of has their own story. There's a pair that is particularly like driven, very like American startup Silicon Valley business, so it's very techy and kind of had, you know, fast paced. And there's a pair that spans the 8 years where they're art students, they're photographers, they're you know film cinematographers. So they're a little bit more like, you know, relaxed, casual, just kind of, you know, a hangout. So it really depends on the where in the game you are.
awesome. If we haven't hooked people by now, what are some of the other games that Serenity Forge has out that people might like?
Yeah, so earlier this year, we launched The King's Bird, which is a momentum-driven platformer title. We released it on all the consoles, so you know, PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch. And then later this year, we're also going to be releasing a couple other games, most of which we haven't announced yet, but we'll be bringing one of our older titles, Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, onto consoles. So we haven't announced which console yet, but that'll be coming out pretty soon.
Do you have a favorite console to write for?
Yeah, so personally, I would say the Switch is probably one of our favorite consoles, but honestly, all the consoles are amazing to work with. There's a lot of just, you know, a lot of hype with some of the new console manufacturers with their, you know, upcoming stuff. But, you know, ultimately, you know, we have been working with the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch all the way back to the Wii U, honestly. And, you know, we've been working with these people, yeah, for a long time. So they're amazing people, and we love working with all of them.
Awesome. Okay. Can you tell everybody where they can find out more about the game? And Serenity Forge?
Yeah, so you can always follow us on Twitter at Serenity Forge or just our website, serenityforge.com. And then I think we also have a Facebook page, which is just, you know, facebook.com/Serenity Forge.
Thank you so much, Z, for joining us and being on Thinking Outside the Long Box once again. It was an honor for me to meet you. And Thinking Outside the Long Box, #TOTLB.com. And check out more from Serenity Forge. This guy's awesome. This stuff's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.